morning comes from, look at this verse, comes from Romans 8, if you want to turn that. The Bible says in Romans 8, verses 1 to 4, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." All right. And we will go on to our next song, which is number 106, "Tell Me the Story." And you're in the story.
Oh, So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read from verses 12 through to 18. Before we do that, I will just open in a word of prayer. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come here, that we can learn from your word, that we have the freedom to do so without persecution, Lord. And Lord, I do pray that as I bring the message this morning, that you'll use me, Lord, that you'll teach through me, that I'll be able to rightly divide the word of God, Lord. Help us to have open hearts ready to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that everything I say this morning will bring honour and glory to you and you alone. Lord, I also do pray for Josh out at Taroom. I pray that you'll bless that time together out there, and I pray that you'll speak to that congregation through him as well, Lord. In your name, amen. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 12, well, I'll read verses 12 to 18. We're only going to really look at two of the verses. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So my sermon this morning will be pretty simple. My sermons usually are pretty simple, but I do hope that you can still get something from it. We're going to look at one little phrase in there. In verse 15, at the end of verse 15, it says, among whom ye shall shine as lights in the world. And I didn't pick it because our church's name is Shining Lights, but I do think that it's a good name. I have no idea how this church got that name, but it is a good name to have as a church. It is a good thing for the church to be a shining light in this nation, in this world. And it is a good thing for every person in this church to be their own shining light for the Lord in the community, amongst the friends and family that you have. And I'd like to look a little bit more into that this morning. So we're going to look at verses 14 and 15, and I'll start with verse 14. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. First, we just need to look at what that all things is. Because I know if I tell my children that they need to do everything without complaining, I'm not then giving them permission to go out and do anything they want. I'm not giving them permission to go and hit their brother or sister, or to lie about something that happened, or to steal their brother and sister's toy or whatever that they have. I'm not giving them permission to do things that they know they're not allowed to do anyway. So when we look at do all things without murmurings and disputings, we're looking at doing things according to the will of God. We're looking at obeying the Lord's commandments. And that's what the do all things is, because that's all we should be doing anyway. When we're not, we're walking in disobedience to the Lord. So when we're walking in obedience to the Lord, we are walking in his will and we're walking according to his commandments. So when we're doing that, we're to do it without murmurings and disputings. I googled the definition of murmur and dispute just so that I understood it correctly, because it's not a word I tend to use a whole lot. But the definition of murmur that I got was a half-suppressed or muttered complaint. I imagine that's pretty common in this congregation here. I know it's common amongst my kids, but I know that I do the same thing. When there's things that I know I have to do that I don't really want to do, I'll murmur. I'll grunt. It might be inside in my heart. Those around might not hear me walk around whinging about what I have to do. I might roll my eyes. I might just do it on the inside. But we do that, don't we? We do it from a kid. I've seen 2-3-year-olds complain, walk away. They might do what I've asked them to do, but they'll be complaining about it. Their attitude shows me that they don't want to do it. That doesn't change throughout life. We want it. It should change. We shouldn't do it because it says it right here. Do all things without murmurings. But it doesn't really change, does it? We get I'm in my 30s. I know some of you are much older than me. And some of you are younger than me. But we all do it. We complain about things that we have to do that we don't want to do. To look at the murmuring, I'm going to go to a people that are called the wilderness murmurers. We're going to look at the Israelites. So I'd like to turn back to the Old Testament briefly. Before we do, though, we'll actually look at 1 Corinthians 10:10, and it says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." And that is talking about the Israelites there. So when we go back to Exodus, we're going to go to one in Exodus and one in Numbers. So start in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. And it says, "The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread of the full, to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And another reference of the Israelites murmuring, there is plenty of it, but we're going to go to Numbers for the next one. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. "And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" So once again, they're murmuring. They're murmuring to Moses and Aaron, but in reality, they're murmuring against God. They don't like what's happened. They don't like the report that they've got about the promised land. We know that there were 2 that gave a good report, but the other 10 did not. And the Israelites listened to the other 10, and they said, "We do not like this land that you have brought us to. The Lord has brought us all this way just to kill us." But this is God's response to that. If you go, stay in Numbers 14, but go down to the end of the chapter, towards the end, from verse 26 to verse 37, it's a bit of a chunky bit here. But this is how the Lord responds to that murmuring against him. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which had murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make ye dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun." So there we see Caleb and Joshua don't get the same punishment as the rest of the murmurers, because they came back and said, "We can take this land. The Lord is on our side. He's promised to give it to us." And the other 10 said, "No, it's full of giants. We cannot do it." So we'll keep reading. "But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall be your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. So those 10 men that brought back that bad report about the promised land, that told the Israelites, no, we can't take that land, we will be destroyed. They gave a report, where does it say, by bringing up a slander upon the land. They slandered that land, they forgot who was really in charge and what was promised to them, and because of that, the Israelites murmured against the Lord, and that is their punishment for it. I'm not here to say that every time you murmur against the Lord, that is going to be your punishment, but that is how the Lord sees it. When you murmur against him, he still sees it the same as when the Israelites murmured against him in the wilderness. So murmuring is not a new thing. It's not something that, you know, this last couple of generations of privileged people have started doing. It's a thing that's been around since the beginning of time. These Israelites were known to murmur against God. They didn't like where he was taking them. They didn't trust him. They didn't put their faith and their hope in the Lord. And so they murmured against him. They couldn't see the good that he was doing. And so they murmured against him. The next one I'm going to look at is disputing. So the definition of dispute is to engage in an argument. That's another thing that we do, isn't it? I know that my children do it, as I'm sure your children do, as I'm sure you do as well. You're given an instruction that you don't like, and you say, well, what about if we do this instead? Or what about if I don't do it at all? Or you try and get out of it because you don't want to do what you've been told, what you've been commanded by the Lord to do, or what you've been asked by your parents to do, or what you've been told by your boss that you need to do. You don't like it, so you either do it like the Israelites and just complain about it the whole time, or you try and find a way to not do it, so you argue with them. You try and you think you're better than them, you think you know more than them, and so you say, well, how about we do it this way? Or how about we don't do it at all? How about we do this instead? So you engage in an argument with them, and this one's a bit different. I wasn't going to go there when I first started writing this sermon, but I'd like to look at Jonah briefly. I probably won't read much from there, but we can turn there anyway, to the book of Jonah. I think everyone here probably knows the story of Jonah pretty well. The Lord asked him to go to Nineveh. And it doesn't necessarily say here that the Lord necessarily argued, that Jonah necessarily argued with the Lord at the start of the chapter here. But what it does say in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he just ran away. The Lord said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he said, no, thank you, Lord. I'm going to go this way. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to those people. I am going to go to Tarshish. Which, at the end of the day, is arguing with the Lord. It is the same thing. If I ask one of my kids to do the dishes, they don't have to sit there and argue with me about how they're not going to do the dishes for it to be disobedient. They can just take off and run out the back and go play out in the backyard. And that's the same thing. They've decided that they don't want to do the dishes that I told them that they need to do. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, and he said, no, thank you, Lord, I'm going to go to Tarshish. So he just completely ignored it. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. So when we do things, we need to do all things without the murmurings of the Israelites, without the disputings of Jonah and many others that we see in the Bible. But we need to do it with joy in our hearts. We need to just do what the Lord has told us to do. One thing I do want to mention when you look at the story of Jonah is how good the Lord is. Jonah got to that point where the storm had come over the ship and they cast him out into the water. And it says in verse 17 of chapter 1 in Jonah, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." That fish just didn't so happen to be there when Jonah finally said, "Okay, Lord, I'll jump overboard, I'll go and do what I need to do." The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow him up and to spit him out on the dry land. God has the foreknowledge to know when you're walking away from the Lord, when you're headed to Tarshish, he has the foreknowledge to know at what point you're going to say, "Okay, I need to turn back and do what the Lord's asked me to do." So at any point along that journey, you can turn back to him and say, "Yes, Lord, what is it that you would have me do? I'm sorry, Lord. I repent of the way I've been going, and I will now turn back and do what you've asked me to do." That's just a little side note that the Lord is good and the Lord is perfect. So let's do all things without the murmurings and without the disputings, because that's not how it's meant to go. The story of Jonah, the Israelites in the wilderness, that's not how it's meant to go. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. One little verse in here, and it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, grievous means to cause harm. So if they're not grievous, then they're not going to cause you harm. If you follow the Lord's commandments, they won't bring harm to you. Now, I'm not saying that you won't be burned at the stake one day because of your Christianity, because of your walk with the Lord. But at the end of the day, you follow his commandments, and there's nothing on earth that this wicked world can throw at you that really matters in the end. So we follow his commandments because his commandments are not grievous. Matthew 11, 29 to 30, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we see that God's commandments that we are to follow, they're not grievous. And then we see that the Lord's yoke, which he tells us to take, is easy. And his burden, which we need to walk with, is light. So when we are walking according to the will of God, and when we are following his commandments as he calls us to, it should not be hard to do it without murmurings and disputings, because his commandments are not grievous and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So we should be able to do that, no dramas. Now, I know that we're all humans, that we're all sinners, that we all fail at life. But we do it in the Spirit of God. We don't give in to the lust of the flesh. We don't give in to those things that our flesh desires, but we walk in the Spirit of the Lord. So the second verse there, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, where it says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." So when we can do that, when we do all things, when we walk according to the will of the Lord and we do it without those murmurings and disputings, then this second verse comes into play, that you may be blameless and harmless. So what does it mean to be blameless? Because I know that we can't stand before the Lord without Christ and be free from sin. We can't be perfect and blameless in the eyes of the Lord, not without Christ anyway. But we can, if we walk according to the will of the Lord, we can be blameless in front of this world, that they can't bring any blame upon us justly. Now, they might try to bring blame, and they might try to say that we're the cause of things, but they can't come before us and put the blame on us justly when we walk according to the will of the Lord. When we look at harmless, now there's one reference in Matthew where Jesus sends out his disciples and he tells them to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I think doves is a pretty good analogy there. I have never heard of a killer dove. Best of my knowledge, they don't even hunt mice. They just eat fruits and seeds and grains and that sort of thing. They're a pretty harmless animal. Now, I know that in Matthew there, where Jesus is sending out his 12 disciples, that's for a specific people, for a specific time, for a specific purpose. But it is also relevant to us today. Well, one, because of this verse that we're looking at here, where it says that we may be blameless and harmless. And then it goes on to say, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, when you look at it in Matthew, it words quite similarly when he sends them out into a wicked and perverse generation, and he says to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So if we are walking according to the will of the Lord and we're following his commandments, then we can do so while being blameless and being harmless. The next part of that verse says, are the sons of God without rebuke. So if we are the sons of God and we are walking according to his will, following his commandments, then there is no need for rebuke. There's no need for the church to rebuke us. There's no need for our brothers and sisters in Christ to rebuke us if we are walking according to the will of the Lord. It can't happen, because if they were to do that, they would be doing it falsely. They would be wrongfully rebuking you, because if we are walking according to the will of the Lord, you walk without any rebuke. And that brings me to the next bit, which I'd like to spend a bit of time on. So in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, these couple of verses are relevant to anyone in any generation that's been, because every generation is a crooked and perverse nation. I'm about 30 years old. I probably don't remember the first 10 years of my life or so. So 20, 25 years I can see and what I've seen in this nation of Australia in a very small snippet. It's a wicked, it's a crooked and perverse generation. I believe it's gotten a fair bit worse just recently, but that's not anything new. What's happening in this world today has happened. Some of you here may have seen the cycle go through. But you can look back in the history books and find medieval Romans and how wicked that place was. You can look at the savages that Americans sent missionaries to in South America, those Indians down there, and the wicked and perverse nations that were down there. You can look in the Bible and look at the different generations throughout Scripture and see the wickedness that time and time again is in there. So this verse, these couple of verses that we're looking at here, they are relevant to every single generation throughout time. They will be relevant to my kids when they are when they have their own families, because I know that in 50 years' time, even if there is a revival in this country, I know that there will it will be a wicked and perverse generation that they live in still. But we want to look specifically at this crooked and perverse nation that we are in this time, in Australia, and we can see how crooked and perverse it is. If you take a look at the news headlines, see what's happening in the world, see what's legal in the world and what's, as opposed to what used to be illegal, is now perfectly legal to do. We see the murder of young innocent babies. We see homosexuality not just accepted but celebrated. We see men who think or tell themselves that they're women, just so that they can dominate women in sports. And if you say that that's wrong, you're the bad person. And then on top of that, there's all the little things. We see stealing is still a crime. If you steal, it's still a crime. But Robin Hood is a pretty celebrated story throughout time. People like it because of who they're stealing from. The world, even though they might be punished for it, if you steal from the right people, the world will celebrate you. They'll say, that's a good thing. They had too much money. Or they shouldn't have had that, and you stole it, so that's okay. Down to just simple lies that we tell our children, that the world says we should tell our children. They're not ready to know the truth yet. Just tell them a little lie here and there. There is good in this world, and it comes from the Lord, but we still live in a crooked and perverse nation. This nation of Australia is a crooked and perverse nation. But the promise here, if we do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. This is all very relevant to us today. It's very relevant to you. It's very relevant to me. And it finishes here with, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So if we look at Ephesians 5:8, Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. When we live according to the will of God, when we follow His commandments, and when we do it without the murmuring, the complaining, the disputing, when we just do what He tells us to do, then we'll be shining lights in this world. They will notice that there's something different in you. You won't have to go yelling it from the street tops. They'll notice. In Proverbs it says, in chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, if you want to go there, I've just got it written here. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. As children of the Lord, we are the light in the Lord. It says to walk as children of light. Now we know the little song. Many of us probably know that song, don't shine your light, don't hide it under a bushel, I'm going to let it shine, and things like that. But we often do look to hide it. I know from personal experience, when I got saved, it was just before I turned 19, and the first year that I was saved, I went out, I got a job out at Blackwater working at one of the mines there, and you could say I was pretty on fire for the Lord. I liked to tell people about God and everything like that. But you know what I soon realised is people didn't want to hear it. They're not interested in what you've got to share with them. And so what I did, as I'm sure some of you have done throughout life, is I started to hide it. I mean, if you got close enough to me, you'd realise that I still went to church on Sunday, and it would have come out eventually that, yeah, I believe in God and I'm a Christian. But when I was at work with my workmates or hanging out with my friends that weren't Christians, I did my best to hide it. I never brought it up. I'd bite my tongue. I'd answer questions in a way that I wouldn't have to mention about God in there. That's not what the kind of light that we're called to be. That's not the kind of light that we are meant to be. We're meant to be that light that when people are around us, it doesn't take them long to realise that we're a Christian. It doesn't take them long to realise that we love the Lord. Now, I know it doesn't take people long to realise that I'm married and I've got kids, because it just naturally comes out in conversation. I love my wife, I love my kids, so it doesn't take long for that to come out. things that I enjoy in life, you know, the sports that I enjoy. It doesn't take long for that to come out in conversation with people when I get to know them, people that I work with, or even just random strangers that you see, you know, you might be at the shop and they ask, oh, how was your day? And you might say, yeah, it wasn't too bad. I went down to the beach and went for a surf this morning. But how often do we say, oh, yeah, just coming from church, just learning about the Lord at church this morning? We tend to avoid that, but we shouldn't. We should be that light that shines to all those around us. The people in our lives that have much to do with us at all should all know that we love the Lord. They should see that light that shines from us, which is from the Lord. And then through that, then hopefully we get the opportunity to share the gospel with them. They see that you're different. They see that you love the Lord. And I know that in an old church that we went to, there was a bit of a thing where I can't remember, I'll probably get it wrong, but I think they said, oh, share the gospel with those around you and use words if you have to. And I don't particularly like it because I think we should be preaching the gospel, but there is one little bit of truth in that, is that they should see the love of God in the way that you live your life, and then you should get that opportunity to share the gospel with them, share God's love with them through words as well, because we are called to preach the gospel to them. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 5 to finish up, and you probably all know where I'm going with this, but Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 to 16. And it says here, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I'd like to leave you with that, and just a reminder that we are Shining Light Baptist Church. Let's walk in a way that our light does shine to those around us. Let's do all things without murmurings and disputings, that we may shine as lights in this world, in this wicked and perverse world. That's all I've got for you this morning. I don't preach for a long time, so you get an early knock today. I'll just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again that we can open your word, that we can learn from it. Lord, help us to walk according to your will. Help us to follow your commandments each and every day, Lord. Help us to do it in your strength and not ours, Lord. In your name, amen.